Hello, welcome back to Even More News, the first and only news podcast. My name's Katie Stoll.
Prove it.
Here's my, we've done this bit so many times.
I know, prove that it's the only podcast about the news, and it's the first one.
There aren't any other podcasts about the news, and this is the first one.
I've been convinced. Hello, I'm Cody Johnston.
Hey, Cody Johnston.
Hi.
And then today we have...
My name's Daniel Vincent Gord, and luckily I came with a list of all the other news podcasts that don't exist.
Really?
As proof. Yep.
Looking
Let's
at
see it.
It. Now. Yeah, there we go.
It's empty.
You see that? Yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing on there.
Thank you, Daniel, for backing me up.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate that.
Thank you, Daniel, for miming holding up a piece of paper for us
the
in the room.
I mean,
it's
this
really
is
about
a visual medium.
I know.
Before we get started, I want to wish everybody a very happy National Girl Scout Day.
So important.
Now's the time to go door to door.
No, it's not.
Give
Look,
people food. With
if
your
you
hands.
Guys haven't stocked up on Girl Scout cookies, it's too late.
Mm.
It's too late. But I just want to use this as a moment to shout out to all the moms and the dads out there who are the real heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Behind the Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah, let's
Girl
hear
Scout
it for going to your break room and putting the form
yeah,
down
here,
and
here.
Saying, hey,
oh, yeah.
It's that time of year again.
Way
sign
to,
up.
Way to teach your daughters how to earn something that they didn't actually mm-hmm. earn.
Yeah, every time you see a Girl Scout, if you look closely, you'll realize there's like a big hulking
mm-hmm.
adult person behind them,
squished
like,
into,
not
yeah.
doing anything.
Yeah, whenever I walk past the little girls are always like fine with it. It's the moms that are looking at me accusatorially. Like,
wait,
why haven't you bought these Thin Mints?
I have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
Maybe you know, and maybe I'm just ignorant. For a while, you had to order the Girl Scout cookies on a form
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
get them weeks later or something,
yes.
right.
right?
Is it still that way?
Well, I think
never
that the,
got that. I was like, why can't I just buy
I
them
so,
like
right?
cookies?
Because they get the shipment,
you, get
you
the
do
shipment.
It, and then they go back, and they're like, here's the order that
what,
you did.
What you're seeing when you have a mom setting up shop outside of a, and a daughter setting
right.
up shop outside of a market, let's say, I believe what you're seeing is a mom who spent hundreds of dollars on boxes anticipating
mm-hmm.
getting those reimbursed. And if not, then they have them for the year.
But, you know, if they weren't there, what would my mom keep in the freezer?
All
year
long.
For centuries.
So she's prepared. She's
oh,
got
she's,
her.
She's you certainly are, prepared with Thin Mints.
You are correct. Thin Mints go in the freezer. That's how they are to be eaten.
I think anything,
I mean,
any cookie goes in the freezer.
Thin Mints specifically
I will go,
in the freezer.
Even a step further and say gummy bears, great in the freezer.
No, they get so hard.
Just try it.
Well, I've had it via frozen yogurt. It's like, do you want gummy bears? I'm like, no, because
no,
they turn
yeah.
into gummy rats.
Yeah, if you put gummy bears in the freezer, they can no
bears.
Longer bounce here and there and everywhere.
Exactly.
But
even with gummy bear juice.
They thunk really here and there and everywhere. They make a satisfying thunk. No, listen, I hear what you're saying. To your point, no place in a frozen yogurt. Those textures are too strange together.
I agree.
But just give it a shot. Get some, in
okay.
your apocalypse prep, just get some gummy bears. Just one bag, throw it in the freezer. If you hate it, guess what? You can take them out and let them thaw. But it's a lovely treat.
Gummy bears luckily last 2,000 years
mm-hmm.
in the freezer, too.
They're like Twinkies.
And only 1,900 years
yeah.
not frozen.
Twinkies and candy corn and gummy bears.
Guys, I got to give a quick shout out to Native. That's right.
Oh, finally.
Native, our ad sponsor
oh.
today. Thanks to Native for supporting Even More News. Native makes safe, simple, effective products that people use in the bathroom every day with trusted ingredients and trusted performance. For 20% off your first purchase, visit nativedeodorant.com and enter promo code MORENEWS during checkout. We're going to have more on them later. Let's do a little news update before we move to the news updates. We might have to cancel some videos coming up, guys. We're about to talk about the coronavirus. Just going to give you a heads up that there might be a little lag
Who
from
knows?
Our end.
Maybe,
Who knows?
Yeah.
Just we're prepared for that.
But maybe we'll do some news updates via a phone.
Webcam or something. We'll see.
Upload them from my home.
This week, we had a video come out about Joe Biden and moderate Democrats traditionally not being able to win elections.
Interesting note about that. It's about, yeah, moderate, progressive, the Democratic Party getting behind candidates and like what that does compared to the issues. Last night, Jake Tapper was on television and he was talking about exactly this and how this current election reminds him of 2004 when everyone sort of started to coalesce around John Kerry, despite Howard Dean having a better platform, mm-hmm. being more exciting. One of Bush's advisors recently told Jake Tapper on the air that they were actually very worried about Howard Dean. They were the most worried about Howard Dean. But everyone sort of coalesces around the candidate, and it signals to the voters, like, this is the guy. If you're a Democrat, vote for this guy. This is our guy. They want to get the primary out of the way very quickly. And then, and in order to get an incumbent president out of office, anyway,
check that out. Check out our video.
I guess
I was planning to talk a lot about primary stuff today. I don't think that we're going to get into that just yet because things are evolving and changing. It obviously doesn't look great.
We got this.
The moment.
We got this.
But who knows, guys? Things are wild. And there is a big debate coming up this Sunday. Mm-hmm. It'll be just Biden and Bernie. That should be interesting.
Yeah.
I've heard tell that they might be talking a lot about how we can all come together and address the crisis that we're currently facing, which would be great. I also want Bernie to give Biden the business. That's less of an inclusive message. So we will see what happens.
I would love him to give Biden the business about all the things that every single candidate that has endorsed Joe Biden has been saying for a year or two, while also being inclusive and welcoming and kind. It is a fine line to balance. and is a message of unity, while pointing out all the things that all the candidates who have endorsed Joe Biden have been saying about Joe Biden specifically for the past year. And points out all of his policies that would actually be helping our current situation that we're in right now.
I think that's fair. I think it's fair to be frustrated by the inherent hypocrisy of politics. You know, I hear your frustration about all of that, and I echo it, certainly. I'm not shocked by it. I know you're not either, but it is to be expected. You look at the early states, New Hampshire, and Bernie won, but you can look at the data and see, like, oh, obviously these other candidates were pulling away from each other. And I understand that they recognize that. I understand there was probably... I'm sure people saying you guys need to coalesce around Biden.
I mean, literally the day before Super Tuesday, they all dropped out. They all said vote for Joe Biden. And like
Not Bloomberg. And Bloomberg pulled more votes away from Biden than Warren from
Sanders. And then he endorsed
Sanders.
Joe Biden.
It's true.
And Joe Biden said,
afterwards.
Thank you, Mike Bloomberg.
Yeah.
After months of
tearing him down.
How terrible, what a monster Mike Bloomberg
And it is.
Which I think is the right thing to do, personally, to say thank you, Mike Bloomberg.
Because he's going
to
give him that money.
No, it's because you want people's endorsements, whether you are endorsing them. I mean, I do get it because we're having, you know, Bloomberg has voters and you want his voters. But I just mean in the sense that there are people currently voting and you need more voters. You know, and when people drop out, you got to say that and move on. But
I do understand, like, what Cody's been frustrated about is you've seen these candidates standing up on stage debating each other for months, for years now, saying, making the case against Joe Biden. And then in a heartbeat, in the span of 48 hours, they're going from saying he's old and senile to he's our best bet.
And his vision is bad, and we shouldn't be doing what he does, and we can't go back to the old ways. And I believe a woman can win all of it. And I can't fully express how frustrating it is to see this sort of reaction to Mike Bloomberg after everything everybody has said, compared to Joe Rogan saying, yeah, I'd probably go for Bernie, and then tweeting a video about it, and everyone for a week talking about how disgusting it is that Bernie Sanders loves Joe Rogan now.
I think
Rogan didn't have voters.
I mean, he has millions of listeners. Those are people who vote.
But they're not people casting their vote for Joe Rogan. And Bernie cut ad for it and went nuts over it.
They posted the clip.
Yeah.
But I think, listen.
They didn't just post the clip. They cut an ad out of it.
They posted the clip online. They didn't like cut an ad and say like, I'm Bernie and I endorse, like it was just a clip of him.
I think that the problem with that, and I hear you, I am 100% acknowledging that it's frustrating to see people do that. It's not unexpected, it's politics, and that's maddening. It's maddening. The whole thing is maddening in many ways. Nothing makes sense. It's all bizarro. The problem with the Bernie Sanders clip ad, whatever it is that however it was presented, was that there wasn't an acknowledgement of the fact that Joe Rogan represents a lot of hatred towards people in Bernie's base. You know, like has said things about the trans community and
Mike
and
Bloomberg
anything
called trans people. A year ago.
Cody, let me finish the sentence.
I heard that whole context. It is offensive. It wasn't. You have to know the context to know the way in which it is offensive. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not here to talk about all of that today. I mean, there's lots to be said. That obviously, we have a lot of heated perspectives here, and it's an emotional and volatile time for a lot of reasons for all of us. And I did want to have that conversation today. I think it's good to see how some of this plays out a bit longer, and it's not going away. And there are other huge things that we have to talk about, unless we want to keep talking about this right
now. I want to say two things.
Yeah.
One, I know that it's been a really disappointing time for people who love Bernie Sanders and want him to be president. And I feel for that. And I think there's not enough of people acknowledging that. And I do acknowledge that. I empathize with it. And I feel personally somewhat like torn about what should happen next, because my candidate isn't in the race. I was very for Warren.
Yeah.
But either way, on a human level, I know a lot of people I care about care deeply about this. And so I care that it's painful for them.
Yeah.
And I think that we need to acknowledge that it's painful for people.
And not deny people their feelings and however they want to process this.
I think the media has, I don't know if you guys see it this way, but I saw this like early on. It was like, well, I don't know how anyone's going to beat Biden because he's polling so well. Then Elizabeth Warren started to peak, and they said, it's Warren's going to get it.
Yeah.
And I think voters don't like that.
Yeah.
And I think they specifically push against that. And so I think Warren getting so popular when she did made people go, okay, well, now I'm going to push against that. And then Bernie did well in the first few primaries, and people were like, well, there's no chance it could be anyone but Bernie.
Right.
And I think, weirdly, you're gaming people to push back against what you're setting them up for. You know what I mean?
The media does that all the time for everybody. I mean, not Joe Biden, but like, yeah, there's, I mean, dragging it out for years.
I'll push back on that a little bit. Just in that I have seen a lot of media drag Joe Biden, and I still do. But you're right. It's much less so. It's much more congratulatory
it's
of him now.
Kind of like it's random. Like,
I mean, there was a study like a couple of days ago in these times. It was whenever Bernie would win a race, it was nine times more negative pieces about it.
Surprisingly, how well Pete did instead of saying that, like the headline,
that does affect how people view it.
I am 100%
not. They think that only Joe Biden's the only one that can beat Trump. They think all the things that have gotten us here. I appreciate what you were saying. And like, it's not that Bernie Sanders lost. It's that the things that he's been saying for decades lost.
And
that's the pain that people are feeling right now. And that, I think, I always hear like, oh, this cult of personality around Bernie Sanders. No, it's not about him. It's about what he's been saying for decades.
And I think that it gets muddled up together. People associate one with the other. And I do want to move on to talk about coronavirus, because there's a lot of really important stuff we need to get to today. And not to say that this isn't also vitally important. But the one thing I wanted to say, when you talk about people and not being about Bernie, it being about the things that he stands for. The things he stands for in Medicare for All is doing well. That is, you're seeing a plurality of people supporting that in our states. But there's a disconnect between people wanting that and people wanting Bernie Sanders. And there's a lot of reasons why. There's a media narrative. There's this quote unquote, the toxicity, which I do believe is a problem, but also isn't the problem for all of this. That's not affecting all of these voters. There's so many people that aren't online. There's so many people. Of course there is. There's so much more to it. It's also about people not being willing to take a gamble right now, the stakes being so high. And I am bolstered by that. Even if I'm gravely disappointed that right now we're not making the strides that I desperately want, I'm bolstered by the fact that we're closer than we've ever been to these things. And that's not changing, and it's only going to get better. And not everybody can have that mentality just yet. You get to grieve and be angry. But that's the thing that I'm focusing on that's helpful right now.
I think there's a lack of nuance in the political conversation right now, too.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about political communication in context of like relationship communication.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't know if you've done much reading about, like, you know, those kind of most basic, like, this is how you should communicate in a relationship. Yeah. And it's largely about listening to someone without defending yourself, mm-hmm. repeating what they say, acknowledging what they said,
yeah.
and actually saying what they said and not defending yourself as you go, yeah. and then taking turns talking. Yeah. You know, and that's like what my regular therapist has suggested to me in my relationship with my boyfriend is, like, you know, try to take turns, yeah. literally take turns and repeat back. And that's, it's very obvious and it's the most standard relationship communication, but it's all communication.
Yeah.
And we're really bad about that as a society politically. And the thing that happens in relationships a lot of the time that makes them go sour is you get to a place where no one's being heard because I'm mad at you for doing this. Well, I did that because right. you did this.
Right.
Well, I did that because you didn't make me feel heard about this. Well, I didn't make you feel heard because
cycle.
You were such a bitch when you did
yeah.
this. And so then it's just I read something calling it the battle for empathy,
yeah.
which basically means no one gets heard. And I don't know how to change that, but I do think that
it's hard.
True in our political
and it's hard
too.
When we're all so, the stakes yeah, are so high and the stakes
I
are
mean,
high.
I mean, it's on Twitter. That's the, like, everything we've been talking about.
And all,
like,
social media.
Yeah.
Social media. Social media. I mean, it's,
like,
in real life, too.
Like, and even, like, the emoji thing. I'm not going to focus on the emoji thing, but, like,
right.
that's a reaction to something that people are feeling, and then no one's being heard because of that. But that's, like, a way that you can express that yeah. online, and it's not a great way to do it, and it's not a great place to do it.
Right.
But anyway, I want to move on from this because there's
yeah,
much to talk about. And again, we're not done talking about this in the context of the show, but we have talked a lot about it the last several weeks and the online sure. climate. And so I think it's good to talk about something that's immediately pressing. And as you guys should know, that is coronavirus. This is a good medium for coronavirus time.
Oh, yeah.
You can listen to your podcast whenever. Mm. You can be social distance while you listen to podcasts. So 2 days ago, we recorded a whole episode on the coronavirus for Worst Year Ever. And wow, there's already, like, a whole episode more of news to discuss. The first thing being the World Health Organization has officially declared coronavirus a global pandemic. As of Wednesday evening, the virus has spread to 118 countries and regions, infecting about 121,500 people, 4,300 deaths reported worldwide. Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson have it. 121,500 people, 4,300 deaths reported worldwide. America didn't really seem to get it. But now they do. Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson have it. Lots of people have it.
Mm-hmm.
Lindsey Graham just self-quarantined because he was in the proximity, maybe not direct contact, but in the room with Bolsonaro, Brazil's mm-hmm. president, who has tested positive for coronavirus.
No, it was his media, his press
Him
secretary.
Too.
Him too?
Mm-hmm.
That just happened then.
Yeah, so all of a sudden now it's impossible to park at Trader Joe's. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
It's always been impossible to park at Trader Joe's.
That's true. We drove by. I did some of my emergency preparedness shopping.
Yeah, me too.
And I felt very self-conscious while doing it.
Yeah. It was like, are you guys seeing what I'm stocking up on?
I was like,
gummy
just
bears.
Don't look at me.
But
they're all doing the same thing.
Boxes of cookies were in mine. I also got like liquid eggs, like a big carton of it.
Mm-hmm.
I know you don't eat eggs, but for people that like eggs like me, get one of those because those last a lot longer. So I'm going to go back to the prepared stuff here. Ohio health officials are estimating that 100,000 people have the virus in Ohio. We'll see. That's an estimate. I saw that right before we started recording. Disneyland has closed its main park and California Adventure, which ruins my plans. I was planning to go visit before I got quarantined, but, you know, didn't happen. And of course, the Dow dropped again today. I don't want to focus on that too much because I did on Worst Year Ever. You guys should check that out, that episode out. What I said there, and I'll say again here briefly, is that the stock market doesn't directly affect most of us. And we culturally put way too much importance on it. We watch it religiously. Not to say that it doesn't signal important things and all of that, but for a lot
it's
of
fake.
Us our
it's all fake.
Listeners
Money's
in our day-to-day
fake. We
life
made it up. We made it up,
which is why it's so great that the Fed put $1.5 trillion
yep.
into the stock market today. Isn't that great for normal people?
The cool thing about
normal
that,
people love that.
The really cool thing about that, so they just you can just decide to do that. They just decided because again, money is fake. We made it up. And but how are you going to pay for it? All that kind of stuff. So they did this today, and it got a little bump in the stock market, and then it tanked immediately.
Worst day since 1987.
Also,
since Black Monday.
It's like I was going to get to this later, but you know, yesterday, Democratic senators were pushing legislation to mandate sick leave for employers to give, and Republicans, or one Republican senator specifically, blocked it, you know, not being comfortable with that. And yet we can just, in a snap of a finger, allocate $1.5 trillion. How much it would cost to wipe out student debt.
It is so embarrassing. And like, I'm not going to keep bringing this conversation back to election stuff, but it feels like it was written for us,
sure,
that we're currently experiencing a situation where so many of the things we've been talking about for years, the policies that we want, that we support, that we believe in, would help.
Yeah.
And that we're now like scrambling, like, oh, maybe we should do this. Maybe like all these tweets like, well, yeah, the vaccine will be free. Testing will be free for everybody. What have we been talking about? It is embarrassing and a tragedy that we are in this situation right now.
Yeah.
Because we clearly have the political will to do these things. We just spent $1.5 trillion on the stock market to do nothing.
Give to banks.
At all. And
buy that money.
That's our money, too.
I am disgusted.
They're just investing it in the stock market when no normal person would ever put money in the stock market right now.
It's a farce.
But they're like,
look,
this is a great time for the United States to invest in the stock
market.
I mean,
it's just maddening. All right. So like I said, we are officially in a global pandemic. This is from the Wall Street Journal. The WHO generally defines a pandemic as a disease that has become widespread around the world with an impact on society. The term has been applied to only a few diseases in history: a deadly flu in 1918, the H1N1 flu in 2009, and HIV/AIDS. We are deeply concerned both by the alarming levels of spread and severity and by the alarming levels of inaction. WHO Director General. Yeah, I'm alarmed by that as well. On Wednesday, Dr. Fauci, who's the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, testified in front of the House. And it's alarming. It's very alarming. But, you know, he's saying that the outbreak in the United States will get worse. It has not peaked yet. And that we are not set up to accommodate people. You know, there were some very dire statistics that were floated. So just the fact that the United States has apparently only tested 11,000 people, way less than other countries. South Korea, for example, is testing 20,000 people a day. And then also, I guess, all the witnesses that were testifying had to be pulled out of the hearing for an emergency meeting with the president. And then the president, made his statement, which we'll get to later.
Very cool.
But the point is that we are horrifically unprepared for this. There's no vaccine in the near future, so that's pretty fun. There's lots of talk that it will go away during the summer, but we don't know that yet. Can't bank on that reality.
And probably come back right as soon as summer's over.
Right around when people are going to get
vote.
I can't wait to be near lots of people then.
Voting. Touching, I know. And for
touching the same screens as other people, that's right up my alley.
That still has to vote in our primaries, you know? Like,
you know what might help, though, actually? An app. Okay, so it's an app, right? And I got a company in mind that could help us out. All right? It's called, don't let the name fool you, it's called Shadow. Okay.
Ooh.
It's catchy, yeah, okay.
They've got history.
They've got a great track record.
Great resume.
Yeah.
Having done a thing, and we won't get into
Love that.
Or how it went, but just a little pitch for democracy.
Noted.
I love democracy, and I love that idea.
And I love apps.
Ooh. Yeah,
and appetizers, but I've got those stocked in my freezer now.
Oh yeah,
so
potato skins.
So many potato skins. I recommend going to the freezer section and hitting up the TGI Friday section.
Oh yeah, that was my entire emergency preparedness.
You need curly fries. You need bacon bits.
Yeah,
all
sesame chicken niblets.
A lot of people are still talking, especially conservative people, about how this is overblown and ridiculous. I actually had not an alarming. I've mentioned a couple times, I think. I've got a friend from high school who we've fallen out because of post-Trump, and I tried to maintain that friendship, but it's been difficult. But every so often it will be a message on Instagram or whatever, and we finally follow each other again. And she posted something that was like, if you are going to comment if your stupid ass is going to comment about the coronavirus, and you're going to get deleted and you're going to get blocked because this is all so fake, sorry, and overblown.
I unfriended that friend this week over that post.
Yeah.
By the way.
And I messaged her.
Yeah. I saw the post. I can't handle it.
I messaged her and I wasn't going to be like blowing up her thing. And I was like, hey, I just want to make sure that you are taking it. Just prepared that you have stuff. You know, I'm not gonna. And then she's like, you haven't talked to me in so long. You're a bitch. How dare you? You think Bernie Sanders would do anything for this? And I was like, you should just look to Italy. You should look to Italy. What's happening there? And she's like, yeah, they're socialists, just like Bernie Sanders. And I was like, okay, take care. Like, goodbye.
You know how South Korea is handling this?
Yeah.
Really well.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, Katie.
It's okay. It was a frustrating start to the day, and I'm sure that some of you are experiencing stuff like that in your own social circles.
Yeah, I also very much believe that Bernie Sanders takes this seriously.
Yeah, I think he'd probably care. I think he'd probably do something about it.
Yes.
Bring up Italy. We'll talk more about Italy in a minute here, but it's a fine. It's hard because you want to be adequately serious when discussing this. You also don't want to be alarmist. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want people panicking. The reality is that, you know, vulnerable people are the ones that are at danger here, but you will be facing shortages. You'll be facing a lack of work. You'll be facing potentially the inability to get the things that you rely on. But like, you look at the exponential curve of our growth here versus China and Italy, and we are on the exact same path. 4 weeks ago, we had 15 cases confirmed. We haven't been testing. 1 week ago, we had 100. As of yesterday, over 1,200. It's ramping up so much quicker. By the time this comes out, that number will be much different.
And the real number of people is much higher. Clearly much more.
There's a Dave, who helps us with a bunch of research, gave this chart of different moderate and severe statistics options. Of like, if this is just moderate, we're looking at like 38 million people needing care, medical care, 1 million hospitalizations versus a severe 9.6 million hospitalizations. Whatever, but this is from the Center for Health Security. Quote, as a comparison, there are about 46,500 medical ICU beds in the United States and perhaps an equal number of other ICU beds that could be used in a crisis. Even spread out over several months, the mismatch between demand and resources is clear. So that's what we're looking at. We're like, this could be widespread, but there is a large population of people that will be have very severe cases, and there will not be room for them to be treated.
I heard there was about 1 million total hospital beds, and about 700,000 of them are in use.
Well, right,
Rachel
and then Maddow there's
said something like
then
that
there's overnight. That. Yeah, like so I mean, that's like, what I'm seeing. Yes,
and you know, people get sick from all kinds of other diseases simultaneously. Right. None of those are going to stop because of this.
And so I mentioned Italy, and we should contrast what we're seeing here, what we know is happening out of Italy. Italy has stopped all commercial activity, so their economy is shut down. I wrote down from last night's news, 12,000 cases, deaths increased over 30% in 24 hours, one day. And the virus is just completely overrunning their healthcare capacity. I just told you those statistics about our beds. Well, there was that letter, that Italian doctor, and like just different accounts from nurses and people working in hospitals over there, and they are working at 200% capacity. People are working overtime. Don't have
China
room.
Sent them a bunch of stuff.
That's great. And you know, people being set up triages in hallways. It needs to be taken seriously. And if we can do what we can now to mitigate it and protect ourselves as best as possible, and just be prepared for the eventuality that this might happen.
I've been noticing, or do you have more current news? Oh, I was just going to say, I've been noticing a lot of people really wanting to like compare it to the flu in these ways that are not accurate and make me a little nervous. Mm-hmm. For one, I think, and I wasn't sure about this at first too, because it was so confusing what was coming out, but 80% of people have mild reactions, right?
Right.
Those quote mild reactions are flu-like symptoms. Mm-hmm. So the mild version of it is the flu, and the flu is terrible. And then 15 to 20% are severe and require hospitalization. And I've noticed a lot of young people being like, well, 0.2% of the people my age are going to die. I'm like, okay, great. So maybe you don't have to fear like death if you, but that's also considering that these people get medical care.
Right.
So if you don't if you have one of those 15 to 20% that's severe, meaning worse than the flu,
right,
and you don't have a hospital bed, that number might go up. But
absolutely,
even so, that's really fucking sick.
It's
that's
really
so sick,
sick
to be.
Yeah.
To be much sicker than having the flu.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
15 to 20% of a really contagious.
It's a lot.
It's not.
Also, with that John Oliver piece that they did a couple weeks ago, and they're talking about like it's only, people say it's only 2% of the population. 2% of the population was the percent of the population that disappeared in the leftover.
Right.
You're like, and that changed the world. I thought that was a funny.
cool. My laugh is different now since coronavirus. It goes like this now.
Michael's
I smile.
We need to take a quick break for that ad that I promised earlier, and then we'll be back to talk about this some more.
Oh, geez. Are you tired of what we were talking about? Well, get ready for this. Thanks to Native for supporting Even More News, Native being a deodorant. As listeners know, I'm very passionate about deodorant. So imagine my joy in finding that Native makes safe, simple, effective products that people use in the bathroom every day with trusted ingredients and trusted performance. Speaking of performance, it's good. But if it's not, Native offers 30-day free returns and exchanges in the USA in case you have to return scents like coconut and vanilla, their most popular scent.
It's really good.
Lavender and rose, cucumber and mint, and eucalyptus and mint. I used Original. I like it. It helped me not smell bad, and thank goodness it uses clean ingredients. I like how it feels and smells and what it does, product-wise. So hey, get 20% off your first purchase by visiting nativedeodorant.com and entering promo code MORENEWS during checkout. That's 20% off your first purchase by going to nativedeodorant.com and entering promo code MORENEWS at checkout.
Don't be confused by Cody's sarcastic-sounding voice. It's like a great product, and I'm thrilled with it.
Resounding endorsement from Katie Stoll.
More news at checkout! And we're back for even more Corona news.
Hey,
let's
or
talk
Coronews.
Coronews. Oh, that's so much better. Just real quick on what we are saying about places being underprepared, not having the resources. I am going to end this episode by talking about some positive things that we can focus on. Yes, we are.
Never. No.
Okay, Cody. We'll see what happens when we get there.
Okay, I guess we will.
But real quick, I want to say, Rep. Katie Porter, whom I'm going to be talking about a little bit more because she's badass.
Katie Stoll got Katie Porter elected.
I helped get Katie Porter elected, mm-hmm. and I'm very proud of that. Katie Porter has started reaching out to different research institutes and universities in her district to start preparing extra beds and seeing if they can explore spaces like that. So that's a really, that's a great idea. Everybody should be doing that, and I think other places. All that doom and gloom I just said, there are avenues that we can explore to expand and set up facilities for everybody. All right. So last week, the House passed $8.3 billion to help with coronavirus. I mentioned already how they tried to pass that bill that would mandate sick leave. That didn't happen. But today they're working on passing a stimulus package aimed at families, you know, protecting families first, people who don't have meals or transportation, childcare, et cetera. So I don't know where that stands as of the time of this recording, but I do know that Katie Porter absolutely crushed it today, grilling the CDC director and getting him to commit for free testing for the coronavirus for everyone.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Incredible. Please go check it out. Find that clip.
I hope it's real.
She had 5 minutes. And yeah. She kept coming back to it. She would not.
She'd be like, reclaiming my time. Reclaiming my time.
And it's a very simple question. And this is what we were talking about earlier, is what we're going to be talking about forever. She crushed it, and she held that person to account to his face.
It was wonderful.
Very clearly and very simply
Katie
with a plan.
Porter will be president someday.
Yes, she will. She got him. It was at the last moment, the very last second that she had with him.
Yeah.
And he said, "You're good at asking questions. Yes, I commit to this thing. It's a very easy thing. It's a form. It takes the political will mm-hmm. to do these things. The $1.5 trillion today, mm-hmm. it merely takes political will. It takes someone saying, yes, we're going to do that. And I'm very happy that that happened from Katie today. And yeah. Those two things happening today, it's just it's an amazing thing to see and go, what are we doing? What are we wasting our time doing?
Thank God for people like Katie Porter and that we're getting more and more of them in office because they are saving us. In contrast, the president yesterday spent the day talking to banks, CEOs, and thinking that's, you know, how to save the economy versus, you know, saving the people that fuel the economy.
Sleepy Don.
What do you bet this stimulus package, if it happens, is less than $1.5 trillion?
I would bet everything that I have, less than $1.5 trillion.
Which luckily is my net worth.
Really?
I am independently wealthy. I'm first trillionaire.
I'm sorry to tell you.
I think.
Money is fake. We made it up.
What?
I'm so sorry.
What am I buying all those gummy bears and putting them in the fridge with then? freezer.
I feel like you need to manage your money.
You could fridge them if you want.
That's pretty much my number one priority. It has been for a while.
We are doomed.
That's how I made the money too.
Unbelievable.
I mentioned this earlier. Trump did end up giving an address.
Getting the coronavirus
on screen. Maybe.
Oval Office speech hot mic and post.
Oh, I didn't hear about the hot mic.
I didn't see the pre one. I saw the post one.
Oh, you didn't see the pre one?
Yeah.
The pre one is something like he's like, oh, what's that? Oh, fuck. Oh, there's pen on the. Oh, well, nice. Can we get someone to wipe that off? Or it's basically like him being concerned with pen getting on something.
Yeah.
And like trying to wipe it.
Well, that's how you get coronavirus. Yeah,
and then the post one is just that awkward, like. Okay.
The post one is amazing. That was amazing. I'm glad that
they're both bad.
So many moments where you're like, oh, we're in a show.
Yeah.
Nothing matters. Nothing matters at all. The first one, the idea that he is concerned about the pen is just everything about him.
Yeah.
You are the worst possible person to be doing this right now. And the one at the end, he's like, okay. It's like, oh, you know what's going on.
Me, that sounded like the okay of someone who's like, okay, I'm going to go watch TV.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, that's done. Like when he was last week or whenever it was, when he did a press conference saying Pence was in charge of everything, and he was just trying so hard to get off the stage. He was just inching off the stage the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, are we done here? And he did. He just left. Anyway, okay. Last night, there was a lot of talk about how unwell he seemed. I wasn't sure. There was definitely one moment where I thought he would keel over. I was like, but other than that, some of his heavy breathing is a little bit par for the course with him. But
I was only hearing it, and what I heard was him doing a lot of these, like, a pandemic. Like, just not finishing his words.
Well,
like,
there was this one point where he just
stops talking.
And I thought he was going to pass out.
Oh, I didn't know.
It was a brief moment.
The gargle glurp.
But regardless, he did make it through the speech. It had some mistakes.
Very presidential to me.
Very presidential.
Yeah, I love when a person can read something from a teleprompter from their personal desk. That's all I need for president.
During the speech, he repeatedly blamed Europe for bringing the virus here. I guess the logic being that he banned flights from China, and that was working. Everything was fine, but Europe didn't. And that's how it kept coming here.
Except for places where his resorts are.
Except for that.
So I didn't watch it because I can't these days. I just can't anymore.
Yeah.
Did he refer to it as the Chinese coronavirus?
He did not say that.
Good for
he
him.
Said, but Europeans Europeans brought the disease or, you know, something
to
that
effect.
That's not
great, but hey, he didn't say the Chinese coronavirus.
He did say that several times, though.
I'm proud of my boy.
He also announced a travel ban for Europe, except for Great Britain and Ireland. And this is odd. This is odd. A lot of people correctly pointing out that Heathrow, being in London, is a huge travel hub. You know, people pass through it from all over the world. And coincidentally, anybody in Europe can go to London with a quick, cheap train ride and fly out of Heathrow.
Right.
So, you know.
And he didn't ban travel from South Korea, where there are hella more cases.
Although they are doing a good job there.
They're doing a great job over there.
Also, this is...
Great job.
Doesn't seem great for the economy.
Proud of you.
You know, since we already have so much of the virus here. I'm not going to say that it's just wild. It's wild. It's all wild. He also said that health insurers have agreed to waive all co-payments for coronavirus treatments and extend coverage to these treatments. But that was wrong.
How accurate was that? Yeah.
It was wrong. The White House official says Trump meant to echo what the vice president said, which was that they've agreed to waive copays on coronavirus testing, not treatment.
Yeah. Weren't there like three different corrections?
Yeah, I have lost track.
There were three different corrections almost immediately of like, no, that's not what actually is happening. Or no, that's not true. We don't know how that happened. Speech written by Jared Kushner and Stephen Miller.
The best of the best. Yeah.
It was a collab.
I do love collabs, though.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, yeah. I wouldn't be here.
Do you like collapse, though?
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah,
how about
it.
Societal collapse?
Well, we're going to find out.
Okay.
I've never experienced, but I'm excited for the opportunity.
You know what a good solution to societal collapse is? Societal collapse.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's right there. We can do it.
He also misspoke about the ban applying to goods and cargo. It does not. So really a real winner of a speech last night.
He did it.
Because he didn't die in the middle of it.
He didn't die. He didn't say the Chinese coronavirus.
But it sure seems nothing changed. Like the economy certainly is doing better, right? Right?
Yeah, it had that bump earlier today. And it only cost $1.5 trillion.
Also, there's been all these reports of people who are like, hey, here's my story. Like New York Times, someone wrote this recently. It was like, I had to go to the ER three times to get tested for the coronavirus. So like at what point during those three trips do you start getting your coronavirus treatment paid for, if that were even true? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like so many, there's been a lot of people being like, well, basically, sorry, you pretty much can't get tested for the coronavirus unless you are so sick you need to be hospitalized.
Unbelievable.
And otherwise, they're not going to test you.
Yeah, it's so many people.
So we'll just never know.
And they're going to send you back into the world where you're going to infect more people.
Yeah, with my primary care physician, and they said, do this, and go call this number. They call that number, like, okay, we'll contact your primary care physician. And it's just like a lot of back and forth, and nobody knows what to do.
Also a bunch of misinformation. That Stanford thing that was like, we're from Stanford. You see that Stanford post that was going viral that was like, here's how you can test yourself for coronavirus.
Oh, my God.
If you hold your breath for 10 seconds, and because all of these specific things about
that's how you get rid of hiccups. What? Unbelievable.
They're related.
Apparently
they're
that
in the
whole
same
thing,
family.
Stanford was like, this isn't from us.
Alex
we don't know what you're talking
like
about.
Selling Stanford. Toothpaste that
Are you sure
cures
it wasn't?
Coronavirus?
Is he?
Yes, he is.
From prison? For ZWI?
Unbelievable.
One more little bit of
toothpaste.
Potentially alarming dour news before we bring this back around to some positivity.
Yeah. Love positivity.
There is a chance.
That it's a hoax. I know. I totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
No, I wish that this thing is airborne.
Right.
This is from The Hill. Federally funded tests conducted by scientists from several major institutions indicated that the novel form of coronavirus behind the worldwide outbreak can survive in the air for several hours. A study awaiting peer review from scientists at Princeton University, the University of California, Los Angeles, and the National Institutes of Health posted online Wednesday that the COVID-19 virus could remain viable in the air up to 3 hours post aerosolization while remaining alive on plastic and other surfaces for up to 3 days. The test results suggest that human could be affected by the disease simply carried through the air or on a solid surface, even if direct contact with an infected person does not occur.
Review it, peers.
Yeah, so peer review.
If I breathed air, that I would be very nervous about that news.
Yep.
But I'm
But you don't. I live anaerobically. You're doing that 10-second holding breath trick forever.
I'm doing an air cleanse.
Yeah. Well, you should really
forever.
Maybe share
because of my eternal hiccups I had.
All right, we're going to be positive here. It will get better. It will get better. We've addressed it. The majority of us are not the ones at mortal risk. Most of us will just have mild symptoms. Again, it's the elderly immunocompromised that we need to be looking out for. And like Tom Hanks. But the good news is that a lot of people are recovering. From ABC, officials at the World Health Organization said Monday that of about 80,000 people who have been sickened by COVID-19 in China, more than 70% have recovered and been discharged from hospitals. Still that 30%.
But still sick.
But in Wuhan, a place where that is considered to be the place where it originated, things are getting much better. The last two temporary hospitals in Wuhan, the epicenter of the coronavirus outbreak in central China's Hubei province, were shut down on Tuesday, making the closure of all 16 temporary hospitals in the city. That's great. I mean, they've been dealing with it for a few months now, so that sucks. But you see what happens once you start to address it head on and take care of this, is that this will come around. Again, I mentioned this on Worst Year Ever earlier this week. We talked about the economics of everything and the idea of a recession and all of this fear. And like, yes, the economy is going to slow down. Yes, this is going to be viscerally felt by a lot of us in our communities on a local level. And things will be tough. And you know, people are going to have a hard time making rent. And that's the reality of it. But the slightly positive side is that this has to go on for a very long time for it to be a sustained recession. I say that it's hard to predict recessions, but from what I'm reading and from what I understand, that we don't need to go to this panic idea of that we're heading towards the Great Depression. You know, not necessarily. It doesn't have to pan out like that. It's something hopeful to focus on anyway.
I think hard thing now is that there isn't any precedent for this.
Yeah.
You know, the 1918 flu isn't great precedent because it was in a completely different kind of society,
right.
Different world that operated differently. HIV AIDS obviously is not nearly as contagious.
Right.
So we're all kind of just have to play it by ear.
We have to play it by ear.
There's no other choice.
It just is something to think in the keep in the back of your mind that as bad as this is, it doesn't necessarily mean that we're heading towards years of scarcity. A pandemic, an epidemic fueled recession is different than other kinds because it's more about a lack of demand. So
right.
People are quarantining. They're not going out and buying stuff. We're not going out to the stores. And it's not about the fact that there's a lack of the product, although there is a little bit because there's, we're not China's supply chain issues. But again, that's already getting resolved now in China. So it's just, I just say that to quell some of our instincts of panic because I'm experiencing it. I just shared this with the boys before we started recording and I'll share it with you guys. My parents are in their 70s. My mom had pneumonia earlier this year and then got sick again. But the thing that I'm most concerned about is the fact that my dad just retired and they're trying to sell their house, the house with their life savings. They've already started the process of moving out. It's supposed to be on the market in mid-April if anybody's looking for a house in the Bay Area. But it's a terrible time, you know, and so I say this almost to comfort myself to say that we don't know what's going to happen. And in the meantime, what we can do is take care of each other. I know that we're supposed to be quarantining, but if your friends, if you're both quarantining, you might as well quarantine together. I don't know. Quarantine parties. I just mean check in on each other. A lot of us live alone and we're isolating and we already live in a community, in a world, in a time where we feel isolated. And right now it's storming in LA and it's very glooming and dire feeling, and be kind to each other, reach out, share your resources if you have to, you know. I'm going to be doing that for the people in my communities as much as I can. And that's, I guess, not as hopeful of a message that I wanted to leave on, but this is a time for us to pull together, is I guess my point.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
I dare you to argue with me about it. I win.
It is a perfect storm of garbage right now that we just have to acknowledge is compounding on itself. Like, you know, obviously there's stress and concern and frustration about the primary,
right,
which compounds with all these other things, like obviously coronavirus, but coronavirus also means like people who love basketball aren't getting their basketball season.
I was supposed to go to see a Clippers game on Monday.
Aren't going to go to see Broadway, or, you know, so many of my actor friends are
shows are
now.
Getting canceled.
People in the service industry. So it's not just the coronavirus. It's like so many things about the world are dark right now. And,
change.
Which make it, I think, work together to make it especially stressful, which possibly means we need to work harder to maintain our positivity.
Yes.
Sadly.
Sure. We do. And we will. And everything is good. We love each other.
Cue the Worst Year Ever theme song.
Well, I mean, like, I was thinking about this the other day. Like, the one thing that 2016 was missing. We all love 2016, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Desperately.
One thing that was missing was what we needed were fewer distractions from what was going on and more people stuck online constantly.
Yes.
I think that would have made 2016 better, and I'm glad that we're getting there. So, everybody, get online. The place that's fun election years.
If you haven't been on the internet, you're going to love it right now.
Yeah, no. Be kind and be positive and not positive for coronavirus, but, you know.
Just look after each other.
Yes.
Yeah. If you and if your friend
I think
is
we should all work harder to listen.
Yeah.
In general.
I think what you said earlier is just so right. It's a
it's
lesson that
chance.
We it's our to each other. And it's not to say that you don't get to be angry or have your feelings or your experiences, but to hear each other because God, we're all scared. We're all scared for similar reasons, different reasons, and we're hurt and hurting.
And it's hard to hear someone's opinion that you may very much disagree with without defending.
Yeah.
Even if you end up on still there, it's still helpful to know.
Yeah.
But it's vulnerable to be like, okay, I'm not going to defend my opinion. I'm going to only hear you right now.
Yeah.
You know? Do you know, Katie? I asked you a question. Katie. You know?
I do know.
Okay.
You know what? I know. You know what else I know?
I did know that, actually. I wanted to answer your question. Yes, I knew that you knew, et cetera.
Do you know what else I know? That we love you very much.
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 Much.